So Islam came to eradicate this ideology, this mentality that lineage is everything, that the worth and value of someone is in their lineage. But at the same time, there was an exception. And the exception was those who are related to and associated with our beloved Prophet. An exception was made. Yes, those who are somehow linked to the Prophet, there's an exception here that yes, they are respected greatly. To the extent that we even have that if a Sayyid, for example, is not a very good person, still, according to some hadith, of course, we have to do an in-depth research of that, but just looking at it right now from at surface value, because he is linked to the Prophet and he is associated with the Prophet, he holds a special respect because of that. Yes? There are exceptions to this rule too, of course. So an exception was made of lineages, and that's the lineage of the Prophet. But brothers, to be exact, even here there is no exception. Just because I'm from the family of the Prophet doesn't mean I'm good to go. That Jannah for me is a sure thing. No, even there is no exception. The only exception that Islam makes is that a certain respect is held. That's it. It doesn't mean that you still have a pass to Jannah. It doesn't make sense for people, anyone in this life, to have a pass to Jannah. Contrary, of course, to that famous hadith in the Sunni school of thought, of course. We don't believe in this. That Abdurrahman bin Auf, he said that the Prophet said that Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Talha fil Jannah, Zubair fil Jannah, 10 people that the Prophet said they're going to go to Jannah for sure. We don't believe in the veracity of this hadith because it theologically can't, we say it doesn't make sense. Theologically, it's impossible for someone to be brought to this world and before they pass away, they are guaranteed Jannah like this. The Imams, when they would pray, they're shaking. The Prophet in the Quran, it says, if you slip and you mess up, we will destroy you. The Prophet is like this. We don't believe in such a thing. So, Islam eradicated this ideology, but an exception was made when it comes to respect. That's one. Number two, unfortunately though, this tribal mentality remained, and this jahiliyyah remained in the people. The Prophet tried his best to get rid of this. The Quran tried its best. But unfortunately, this remained in the people. And then the Prophet passes away. As a matter of fact, one of the things that proves that it was so important, the lineage, and being somehow connected to the Prophet, is the story of the marriage of Umar ibn al-Khattab to the daughter of Imam Ali Kulthum. Now, I know I'm opening a can of worms here. It's okay. There's a huge debate and difference of opinion regarding this marriage. Did it actually happen? Some say no. Others say it did, but that doesn't mean anything, and that they have their own reasoning. Yes? Of course, this story is used against the Shia. We have some hadiths even in Usul al-Kafi about this. That if the ties and the relationship between Ali ibn Abi Talib and the second Khalifa weren't the best, then how can he give his daughter's hand in marriage to Umar ibn al-Khattab? This is a debate that's ongoing. The ulama have spoken about it. Lecturers have lectures on it. I've even spoken about it online. It's online. Everything's online. Okay, we don't want to talk about that right now. The point I'm trying to make is this. Umar ibn al-Khattab, in his 50s, proposes to who? The daughter of Ali ibn Abi Talib, who is still a minor. She is still a minor. Less than 10 years old. He proposes. With what is the justification? What is the reason for this? Now, of course, the Shia says there were other reasons. But whatever the reasons were, in reality, look at the wording that is used. He says, I have heard the Prophet say that كُلُّ سَبَبٍ وَنَسَبٍ مُنْقَطِعٌ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا سَبَبِي وَنَسَبِي. Those who are all relations and ties and relationships will be cut off. They will no longer be relationships in Yawm al-Qiyamah. Means they won't do you any good except which relationship? The one that has a relationship with me. So he is insistent on marrying the granddaughter or the great-granddaughter of the Prophet, so that he can have this connection. He says, I know I'm already the father-in-law of the Prophet. I know I am from Quraysh and we are related through blood as well. But I want to also have this honor. Of course, the Shia here says there was other reasons for this. It was something political. But nonetheless, the point I'm trying to make is that to show that this was going to be taken as a good excuse, as a justification for a 50-something-year-old marrying a minor. That lineage was everything. Okay. Now, whether it is because of Imam Hussein's link now to the Prophet and it falling under the category of the exception that I talked about, that the relationships, all of them are nothing except for the Prophet, and there's a special respect there. Whether it's because of this, or it's because of the people of that time still having that tribalistic understanding and mentality that lineage is everything, we find that the Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the other Ahlul Bayt, they would speak about their ties and relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would talk about it. It doesn't have any contradiction with humility either. Sometimes the Ahlul Bayt had to speak about their merits so that people know they're the ones to go to when it comes to Islam, when it comes to Islamic teachings and knowledge, etc. Okay. Three titles Abu Abdullah al-Hussein has that talk about his lineage, but a special word and term is used in each of these three. And each is referring to something special. Okay, two birds with one stone. Sometimes you talk about your lineage, and sometimes you use a special word to talk about your lineage. And that special word has a background and a history to it, a theological even argument behind it. And you find these three in Ziyarat Ashura. Yabna Rasulillah, Yabna Amir al-Mu'mineen, Yabna Fatima, Sayyidati Nisa al-Alamin. Shall I say more? Do I need to say more? One person is trying his best to be the son-in-law of the Prophet, and then one person has it all. The son of the Prophet, the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen, son of Fatima Zahra, but we have to break each of these down. Assalamu alayka, Yabna Rasulillah. For us, it's very clear that he is the son of the Prophet. But did you know that this has been challenged and argued against? We're not sitting here after 1400 years saying the same things that were being said a long time ago very easily. No. Things have gone up and down. There has been lots of debates and research done to prove each of these things, and we easily say Alhamdulillah today, and we don't have to do taqiyya about it or anything. We easily say it. Back then, who says you're the son of the Prophet? We'll get to some of the stories, inshallah. We'll get to some of the stories. Yes, the Shia school shouldn't take these things for granted. What the Shaykh al-Mufids have been through, what the Sayyid al-Murtadas have been through from the beginning of Islam, of Shia theology till today. I'm going to start with this. Back then, during the time of the Imams, the Khulafa, they would try their best to show that they're part of this family entry. One example, and we'll talk about him a little bit, Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid, the Abbasid Khalifa. During the time of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, they say he went for Hajj once. These are famous stories that I'm going to relate to you now. He went for Hajj. And then when you go for Hajj, you go to Medina too, you visit the Prophet. Now it's interesting here that he's visiting the Prophet, the Khalifa of the Muslimin. So these are all little bits and pieces that show that it was okay, apparently, to visit the Prophet's grave. For those who say it's shirk today, there are very, very little, many bits and pieces like this that you find. Then he goes and he says, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, Harun al-Rashid. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, yabna'am. Salams to you, O Prophet, O uncle, O cousin. Yabna'am means O cousin from the father's side. In other words, I am the son or the grandson of Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib. Abbas was your uncle, O Prophet, so the sons and the sons of the sons and the sons and the sons of the sons of the sons of Abbas are going to be your distant cousins. So I am calling you by this name. What a loser, man. Because after all these years, and then this is what you're doing, to prove somewhat of a legitimacy for yourself, that I am the Ibn Am of the Prophet. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salatu was salam was also there. Right there, he says, As-salamu alayk, Ya Rasulallah, O Father. فَبُّهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. We have a verse in the Quran that says, and so the one that was kafir, he was dumbfounded. He had nothing to say. It applies here too. And he says to Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, that is such a great honor you have. But you can tell he's upset inside. What a great honor. You're right. You're better than me. On different occasions, different narrations we have that the being the son of the Prophet was questioned. The same Harun al-Rashid, I'm going to narrate to you three stories about how he challenged Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. And look at the answers that are given. So he says to him, how are you the son of the Prophet? You Ahlul Bayt, you say that you're the sons of the Prophet. How can you say that? Because if you're the son of someone, if you want to be considered the son of somebody, how does that happen? It happens through the father, right? Through the father. So I know Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, your father is As-Sadiq alayhi salam, whose father is Al-Baqir alayhi salam, whose father is. But then when it reaches Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam, his father is not the Prophet and not anyone who is the son of the Prophet. It's Ali ibn Abi Talib. So how are you the son of the Prophet? You are the son of Abu Talib. The Imam, there are three answers that he gives. I want you to pay attention. Number one, he says, okay, fine. You forced me to answer. So now listen. He recites the verse of Surah An'am, verses 84 and 85. And we gave him Ishaq and Ya'qub, Prophet Ibrahim, and guided each of them. And Noah we had guided before, and from his offspring, David, Suleiman, Job, which is Ayyub, Joseph, Moses, Harun, and Zechariah, Yahya, and Isa. Prophet Isa alayhi salam. From his offspring. Question. Prophet Isa, how is he linked to Prophet Ibrahim? Through his father, right? No, that's wrong, because we know he didn't have a father. Yeah? Some people argue about whether Prophet Isa's father was tall or short, what he looked like. He didn't even have a father. Prophet Isa is linked through his mother, Maryam, to the previous prophets. Okay. Right here, the Imam says, how come here the Quran is saying from his offspring and from his sons are Prophet Isa? That's one. Number two, in Mubahala, in the story of Mubahala, this one's even nicer. Yes? We all know the verse, yes? That he says, the Quran says, should anyone argue with you concerning him after the knowledge that has come to you, say, come, ta'alo. Let us call our sons, نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءُنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ نِسَاءَنَا نِسَاءَكُمْ. Who did the Prophet bring as his abna, as his sons? Who did he bring? Hassan and Hussein alayhim as-salam. He brought them as his sons. The verse very clearly says abna. Abna is the plural of ibn. Ibn means son. The verse could have just said, Abna nisa'ina. Bring the sons of your daughters, for example. It says, no, the sons. So once again, Harun al-Rashid. And another one, which I like, which is this one. Sometimes you take someone up, and then you throw them down. That's more painful, right? Here, let's look at this story now. On another occasion, apparently, it says, the Imam tells Harun al-Rashid, he says, if the Prophet had come to you, O Harun, asking for your daughter's hand, would you accept? He says, yes. He's taking up him up a step. Yes, of course I would accept. What honor greater than the Prophet being my son-in-law? I would take pride in this over all of Arab and all of Ajam, non-Arabs. I would take pride over everybody because of this honor that my daughter is married to the Prophet. Subhanallah, he says, why wouldn't I? I would take pride over all Arabs and Ajams and Quraysh and because of this honor. Okay, so he's taking him up. Yeah, he's making him happier and happier. But then Imam says, but I wouldn't do such a thing. And he would never make such a request to me that I want your daughter's hand. Why is that? Because I'm his son. And my daughter will be his daughter, or else he can't ask for her hand. Or else he would be able to ask for her hand, excuse me. I cannot give my daughter in marriage to the Prophet, but you can. Ha. So from up top, he falls down. Something he was so happy about all of a sudden, and he was going to take pride in, is used against him. Yabna Rasulillah. Yeah, this is such a title that everyone wants to have. So in this ziyarah, right there in the beginning, Yabna Rasulillah, this was questioned. People didn't want this to be for the imams. Now, can we use these against some of those who are against this ideology? We can't, maybe. But there are some things that we see that in the Sunni school, for example, have been used. And this is what makes you happy sometimes, is that you will see some of the ulama of the Sunni school, they tell you this themselves. But the ends, unfortunately, don't justify the means in our eyes. Because look at the hadith now. I'm going to read the hadith for you. The hadith proves this point, but then causes a bigger problem. It causes a bigger problem. It goes like this, that the Prophet was sitting on the minbar once. And Imam Hassan was around there, and he was a young child. Some of the Sunni greats, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, his name is, one of the commentators of Sahih Bukhari, he says this. He draws this conclusion from this hadith that's in Sahih Bukhari. He says, the hadith goes like this. Imam Hassan is playing around the Prophet, or he's sitting there next to the Prophet, looking at the people while the Prophet is delivering a sermon and speaking to the people. Okay. He points to Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam. He says, "Inna ibni hadha sayyidun." That this son of mine, inna ibni hadha, this son of mine, you see, son. Right here, Ibn Hajar puts his finger on this word. He says, so we can conclude that this is the son of the Prophet. Really? We needed this hadith to say this? You really need a hadith to say this? Anyway, fine. We'll take it. But let's see the end of the hadith, which causes major problems for us. We cannot accept it. Inna ibni hadha sayyidun wa la'alla Allah an yusliha bihi bayna fi'atayn 'azimatayn min al-muslimin. Oh my God. Tragedy. It says he's a sayyid. He's a noble person. And Allah through him, inshallah, la'alla, the word is, la'alla, maybe, inshallah, Allah is going to bring together two great groups of Muslims and reconcile them because of this son of mine, Al-Hasan alayhi salam. Here, oh my God, Bani Umayyah are in love with this hadith. They say, look, alhamdulillah, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he was after fighting. Siffin, he fought. Nahrawan took place after Nahrawan. Imam Ali was getting ready to go back and fight Muawiyah again. But he passed away and became shaheed. Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam took over. Imam al-Hasan, now we're looking at it from their eye, their lens now. Their lens, right? Their glasses. Their glasses, when they look at it, they say, alhamdulillah, Imam al-Hasan, what he saw was that there has been enough bloodshed, so he didn't want bloodshed to happen. He said, you know, that's enough. Oh, Muawiyah, here, take the khilafah. And through this gesture, he was able to bring together, it's all love, brothers, it's all love. bring together two great armies and groups of the Muslimin so that no more bloodshed happens. Because, you know, we're reading between the lines here, you know, his father didn't really care that much about bloodshed happening. These are between the lines, brothers. Read between the lines. His father had issues with like this. His son didn't have issues. That's why when his father was fighting in Safin, Imam al-Hasan was going to his father, pleading to him, please, oh father, there is no future to this. There is no fruit in what we're doing. But Imam Ali says, hush, we have to do this. It's there, brothers. It's there. It's in history. While the Shia, the historians, mashallah, the ones that are alive today, some of them, mashallah, may Allah protect them, they say that Imam Hassan, he's the one who went to Basra. He's the one who went to Kufa. He's the one who even brought armies to the Shias, to the Imam Ali's side to fight. No one was coming on Imam Ali's side in Safin and in Jamal. No one was coming. Imam al-Hasan, he had to go as a figure, as the son of the Prophet. These people hadn't seen these individuals. They were living in Medina. He had to go show his face. It's as if the people are seeing the Prophet. And this individual is to bring all this army together. This person who brings all these soldiers, he's the one who's telling the Imam Ali, oh, Imam, please, I don't see anything coming out of this, you know. And this is what the Bani Umayyah did in the hadiths and in history. Oof, they changed it so beautifully, so nicely. Sometimes you think, where were they getting these instructions from? Yes. And this is why Imam Hussein alayhi salam, whenever he would go to the grave of the Prophet before he left for Karbala, he keeps saying this, reminding the people that, O Prophet of Allah, I am your son. I mean, any more clearer? I am your son. And this is what they are doing to me. Because on Ashura, brothers, not everyone had the imamah of the imam. Let me tell you this. Not everyone is Habib bin Mudahir or Muslim bin Awsaja. No, not everyone's like that. We have people who were Uthmanis, they call them, who believed in the Khilafah. But now that circumstances and the situation is so bad that they see that the son of the Prophet is going to be killed. Who cares whatever he is? The son of the Prophet is going to be killed. So this is the number one medal of honor and badge that Imam Hussein has, that just so happens to be universal as well. Everyone sees this as something that has to be respected. From the beginning, you see them that they are highlighting this. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam didn't have this the way Imam Hussein had it. And as I said the first night, Imam Hussein sees that I'm the only one left whose blood is worth anything in the eyes of these people. Let it be shed. Faya suyuf khudini, O swords, embrace me. If the religion of my grandfather is to be compromised. That's the first one. The second one of these lineages, assalamu alaik, yabna amir al-mu'mineen, salawatullah wa salamu alayh. Brothers, we hear this one again, we take it for granted. Amir al-mu'mineen, okay. Amir, what does it mean? Commander, they say. Okay. Mu'mineen, the faithful. Commander of the faithful. So anyone who has the command rightfully of the mu'mineen, he's also an amir, right? Amir of the mu'mineen. Yes? No. This title is exclusively, with capital letters, by the way, for Ali ibn Abi Talib. Two hadiths I'll read for you so we get an idea. There's more, but let's just two, just so we get an idea. We want to move on, inshallah. Someone came to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and said, "Assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen." Whew, he's in trouble. The Imam stood up and said, "Be quiet. This is a name that only belongs to Imam Ali alayhi salam." Then the person asked the Imam, "Then what is the 12th Imam going to be called and addressed by?" Apparently, it seems that this person, what he had in mind is that, okay, Ali ibn Abi Talib was a commander of the faithful. Yes, he was commanding. He had khilafah for a while. The rest of the imams, they never had khilafah. So they were never in charge, yes? So maybe Imam al-Sadiq, when he says this is for Ali ibn Abi Talib only, it's because he only had khilafah and power and was actually a commander of the faithful. So he asks a good question, actually. He says, okay, then what about the 12th imam? What's he going to be called? Because he is going to be in charge of even more mu'mineen, yes? When he comes back, inshallah. He's going to take over. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ is going to take place. Okay, so the question is put forth. What does the imam reply? Does he say, yes, he's also Amir al-Mu'mineen? No. He says, the imam replied that he is called, this is what he's called by. As-salamu, when they want to call him, As-salamu alayka ya baqiyatallah, As-salamu alayka ya ibn Rasulillah. This is what you call him. So, okay, from this, very clearly you conclude that, okay, it doesn't matter what it is, what's going on, what the situation and circumstances are, it doesn't matter. This title solely belongs to one person, and that's Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's it. Next hadith. In another hadith, someone asked the imam again, the sixth imam, he says, can we say assalamu alayk ya amir al-mu'mineen to you, for example? And here he's a little more cautious, this person. Apparently he had heard some things. So he says, can we call you this? The imam says, no, that is a name Allah gave to Imam Ali alayhi salam. No one was given that name before him, and no one will be named that after him, except that he is a kafir, according to this hadith. No one is to have this title of Amir al-Mu'mineen. From this, we conclude it's not about just taking command of the mu'mineen. It's something loftier than that. And because it's lofty, that's why certain hadiths will start making sense. Like the ones that say Jibra'il brought this name for Ali ibn Abi Talib. When he was born, he was given this name. Or other hadiths like this one. I really like this one because it shows how humble Imam Ali was. Or like this hadith. These hadiths start taking meaning and we can understand them better. That it goes like this. Buraida al-Aslami, he says, and this is an individual, he's interesting. Buraida al-Aslami, he's someone that's important in Fatimiyyah. That's something to talk about, inshallah, sometime. He's very pivotal. He says, when we would travel with the Prophet, Ali was the one in charge of the Prophet's belongings. I love this hadith. He would keep them with himself. He takes care of the Prophet. He attends to the Prophet. When we would stop to rest, he would check the Prophet's things and would repair anything that needed repair. So beautiful. If it was a na'al, a shoe, he would fix it. He would take it and he would fix it. Yes? Someone came to Imam Ali. He had heard about Imam Ali, apparently, and the things that Imam Ali says. And he's listening to one of the khutbahs of Imam Ali that's so beautiful. He says, are you a Nabi? Are you a Prophet? He says, no. Ana abdun min abidi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am a slave. I am but a slave of the Prophet. Don't say that I'm a prophet. He takes the shoe of the prophet and repairs it. So one time we stopped and Ali began fixing the prophet's na'al, the shoe. Abu Bakr entered and the prophet told him to go and say salam to Amirul Mu'mineen. Then Abu Bakr says, O Prophet of Allah, even while you're alive, we have an Amirul Mu'mineen. The prophet says, yes, even when I'm alive. And he says, okay, then who is Amir al-Mu'mineen? The Prophet says, Khasifun Na'al. It's famous. These hadiths are called the hadiths of Khasifun Na'al. The one repairing the shoe. It's so beautiful. Okay, let's see who's repairing the Prophet's shoe. Of course we know who it is. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab, same thing happens. Buraida says, I walked in, the Prophet told me the same thing, and I said salam to Amir al-Mu'mineen with this title. And we have some hadiths about this. We have a whole chapter, actually, in Bihar, talking about how during the Prophet's time, the Prophet would tell people to say salam to Ali ibn Abi Talib by the title of Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's something that has value. It's a medal of honor. But unfortunately, because Imam Hassan, according to the Bani Umayyah version of Islam and history, Imam Hassan was so kind and gave the Khilafah to Muawiyah, unfortunately this name and title was hijacked. Now Muawiyah becomes Amirul Mu'mineen, na'udhu billah. And it's because of these things that Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam has to let his blood spill. Because if someone like this becomes Amirul Mu'mineen, then Islam will be eradicated. So this was a problem that Imam Hussein had to fight against. وَابْنَ سَيِّدِ الْوَصِيِّينَ. Okay, this one, it says, I'll just keep this one short, that you are also the son of سَيِّدُ الْوَصِيِّينَ. I just want to make one point here, it's nice. That Ya Hussein, you're the son of the Prophet, you're the son of Amirul Mu'mineen also, but there's another title as well that Imam Ali has that's also debated greatly, and it goes back to Saqifah, of course, that he is the wasi of Rasulullah. The wasi, what does a wasi do? When someone passes away, lots of things have to be taken care of, yes? From the burial, from the will, from the belongings, the inheritance, all of these things have to be taken care of by someone. So you make someone your wasi, a person who will take care of all of your responsibilities after you. The wasi of the Prophet, of course, not in the sense of his wealth and belongings only, but the wasi in the sense of a person who has to take care of all of the responsibilities the Prophet had after him, is Ali ibn Abi Talib. But the other imams also are wasi. But apparently Ali ibn Abi Talib is the greatest of all wasis. So we also call him, Imam Hussein, we call him the son of the Sayyid of the wasis, the master of the wasis. The last title we're going to cover tonight, inshallah, Sayyidati Nisa al-Alamin. You are also the son of Sayyidat Nisa al-Alamin. Okay, do we have anything to say here? No, let's move on. No, wait. Someone is going to stop you and say, wait a minute. If in Yabna Rasulillah you were able to solve it somehow, we had some hadith there, even in Bukhari, in Tirmidhi and others, here we're going to stop you. Brothers, thank Allah that when you call and send salams on Imam Hussein, you easily say, As-salamu alayka yabna Fatimah al-Zahra, Sayyidati Nisa al-Alamin. Thank Allah for this. Some people are still stuck in this. Some people still have issues here. And it's hard for them to say Sayyidat Nisa al-Alamin. Where does this stem from? It stems from a verse in the Quran. Some people say she's not the greatest of all women, of the past, of the future. She's not. Okay. Why? Because of the famous verse when it's talking about Surah, Lady Maryam. It goes like this, that the angels come to Lady Maryam and they tell her something very beautiful. With قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ يَا مَرْيَمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you over all of the women of Al-Alameen, which they translate to the worlds, which is not a very good translation, but we'll just go with it again. Of the Alameen, of all women. This verse of the Quran, okay, when you look at it, it's unrestricted, it's absolute. What does that mean? That means anyone you can call a woman, Lady Maryam is higher than her. It's saying it very, very clearly, right? Add to that some other things. Two hadiths here that I'm going to read for you that we have in the Sunni sources. That the Prophet said, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, that the greatest of the women of Jannah, who are they? Maryam bint Imran. The first is Lady Maryam. Thumma Fatima. Then means what? A step lower. And that's what it implies. Then, thumma Fatima. And then Fatima, thumma Khadija, thumma Asya bin Imra'at Fir'aun. Then Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, because she was one of the greatest. Yes, the Quran talks about it. The Quran says when they were gonna, they threatened to kill her, and they eventually apparently did kill her. She says, "Rabb ibn li indaka baytan." Oh Allah, build for me now because of the patience that I'm going through and exhibiting. Build me a home next to you. Yes, and the Quran says it in a way as if that this wish was honored and was fulfilled and shall be fulfilled. Yes, she's one of the greatest. The wife of Fir'aun. She was also a mu'mina. Okay, so it's saying though that at the first stage we have Maryam, then Fatima, then and then. Another hadith says the same thing, but it doesn't say then. It says wa, and. And then another one that might hurt the Shia. I wish I didn't have to read it, but we'll read it. That Fatima al-Zahra, when her father was on his deathbed, and it's famous that she cried first because the Prophet said he's going to be passing away, and then she smiled and maybe even had a little laughed. She laughed a little. She was very happy. They asked her what the Prophet had said. Okay. أخبرني رسول الله أني أسرع أهله لحوقا به. That, do you want to know why I'm happy? Because he said, I will be the next one, the fastest one to join him after his demise. This is the part that hurts though. وَأَنِّي سَيِّدَةُ نِسَاءِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And that I am the سَيِّدَةُ نِسَاءِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. I am the highest of the women of Jannah. إِلَّا مَرْيَمْ بِنْتْ عِمْرَانِ. This doesn't make sense that much for me personally, this wording. Except Maryam. I am the greatest except Maryam. The Prophet's on his deathbed, and then he's saying these things to Fatima al-Zahra, and then he's going to say all the details. Except this, and by the way, that you say something general here. But anyway, she says, I heard this from the Prophet, and that's why I smiled. These hadiths, and more probably, more, and the verse of the Quran, very clearly, brothers, what do you get out of this? Unbiasedly, if you're not Shia, what do you get out of this? What you get is that, of course, she is the highest. Lady Maryam is the highest of all. Brothers, I keep saying this and I repeat this. Thank Allah that you can say, As-salamu alayk, yabna Fatima, Sayyidat Nisa'il Alameen. Some people can't say this. Okay. We have to answer this, yes? Now, some people right here, they'll get upset. They say, why are you always trying to take up your figures? Why are you trying to make them look like the greatest? It's not about taking people up or down. One after another, the status of these individuals is being compromised. People won't go to them anymore. It's not about me taking them up higher. It's me holding on to them so they don't go down to some of the lowest levels. You took Abu Talib from us because he is, according to the hadith, that is out there, he is burning in hellfire. But since he was a good person and he helped the Prophet, the bottom of his feet are burning in the hellfire. The hadith says this, that the Prophet said that he's at the lower levels, that at the better levels of Jahannam. Na'udhu billah. So you took Abu Talib from us. And of course, Ali, who is the son of this person, is not going to be that much of a great person because that was his father. You took Ali from us. When did you take Ali from us? You took Ali from us when Muawiyah took over. Yazid, he was arguing with Imam Hussein. Recite salawat, please. It might be Marwan, I'm not sure, I'm sorry. Anyway, it just came to my mind, I want to relate this too. It's interesting. That he says, Imam Hussein is arguing, he says, why is Yazid the Khalifa? He's probably arguing with Marwan. Why is Yazid the Khalifa? Because my grandfather is the Prophet. My mother is the best of women, Fatima al-Zahra, and my father is the best. Who is he? His mother is Hind, who has an appetite for liver. She bit into the liver of Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada, his grandmother. His grandfather, Abu Sufyan. His father, Muawiyah. Here, Marwan says, or the person that's arguing with Imam Hussein says, you're right. You have the best grandfather. You have the best mother, Fatima Zahra. But your father, Ali, Allah showed us who was better. What happened to the Khilafah? Who took over after Siffin, after the Hakamiyya and that arbitration? Who took over after the arbitration between Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and Amr bin al-As? Who took over? Muawiyah became Khalifa. So because Muawiyah became Khalifa after that, it shows that Allah chose him. So Ali, we know that Muawiyah was higher than him. Allah showed us. So they took Ali ibn Abi Talib from us and Abu Talib from us. Who else have they taken away from us? They took Imam al-Hassan from us because he was in love with peace and he acknowledged the Khilafah of Muawiyah. That too. Now you're taking Fatima al-Zahra away. So what is left? You took all of the Ala Abba from us. So where are the people supposed to go? Ayatollah Burujerdi rahmatullah alayhi, he has a beautiful line here. He says, we have differences with the Sunni school of thought. Yes, we do. But that was something historical. He talks about Saqifa a little bit. He says, that is over. What we have to do from right now is to prove to the Muslimin that, okay, let's just say that the Khilafah was what happened, was supposed to happen. But let's prove to them that the Ahlul Bayt are the ones to go to for the deen. They are the marja of the deen and the authorities when it comes to deen. And we can start this with Hadith al-Thaqalain, he says. But if you're going to destroy the Ahlul Bayt like this, then there's no way you can see them as authorities. They're just a human being like everyone else. So it's not about me, you know, pushing for my agenda, my interests, my figures that we revere. No, it's about these people not dropping to some of the lowest levels as they did with the Prophet brothers. Bani Umayyah, the hadiths that were forged, some make you look at the Prophet as if he is not even a normal individual. He is less when it comes even to here. He is less, na'udhu billah. That's what it's all about. That's how we're going to stand firm. We're going to use everything we have to disprove. Okay, but some of the answers that are given, Allama Tabatabai, of course, in Al-Mizan, he gives answers in his tafsir about the verse and the context of the verse, etc. I don't want to get into that. But there's one that I just love so much, an answer that I love so much. Okay, if you're going to take this verse, this wording of Istafaki ala nisa'il alameen, over the worlds and over all the people, well, we have another group in the Quran that probably more than once, twice, three times in the Quran, Allah says to them that I chose you over al-alameen. Yes? Who are they? Bani Israel. Bani Israel were chosen over all people. All people, yes, of their time in a certain context they were. But that was taken away. Someone here might say, well, Lady Maryam didn't become a bad person. That's not the point, brothers. That's not the point. We're zooming in on the wording here. It says, we chose you over all people. We chose you over all people of a certain time in a certain context. That's what's important, because later on we see that they're not the chosen ones anymore. So this wording can be used. This is the point I'm trying to make. This wording can be used in places where something will not be absolute and forever and always. Yes, Lady Maryam is the greatest. Until Fatima al-Zahra, the wording of the verse doesn't disprove this. If that is what you are fixating your argument on, that's not enough. Now for the Shia, of course, it's very simple. Just one hadith finishes the job. And I love this hadith, and some of the greats have talked about this. That Fatima al-Zahra, the Imam, I think, yes, Imam Hassan al-Askari, alayhi salam, he says this. He says that, نَحْنُ حُجَّجُ اللَّهِ, we are the hujjats of Allah, عَلَى خَلْقِهِ, over His creation, وَفَاطِمَ حُجَّةٌ عَلَيْنَا. If you're going to ask why the hadith says لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ is Fatima al-Zahra, don't ask me, I'll just show you this hadith. What does this mean? I have no idea what this means, but I can tell it is very, very, very up there. That if the Hujjatullah, the Imams are Hujjatullah ala khalqih, there is a Hujjah upon all of them, and that's Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Yes, and other hadiths that we have also that talk about how high Fatima Zahra is over all women, even Lady Maryam, of course, including Lady Maryam. So, Yabna Rasulillah, Yabna Amir al-Mu'mineen, Yabna Fatima Zahra. Ziyarat Ashura, brothers, we're not trying to finish it necessarily. We want to touch on these important subjects. Let's just act as if we're not even doing Ziyarat Ashura. I want to talk about the lineage of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That's what I'm talking about. The most beautiful lineage you'll ever find. So awesome. Flawless. So this person that we don't even have to acknowledge that he's an imam, just the fact that he's the son of the Prophet, we have to protect him and his women and children. What did they do? Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Today was the second day of Muharram, and according to reports, today is the day that the Ahlul Bayt entered Karbala. They were cut off and intercepted by the army of Hur, and they have to come to this land. They have to divert their route and come to this land. This land is a magical land. A land full of secrets, a land that ahadith tell us the Anbiya have all visited. A land that they say Imam Ali, along the way to Battle of Siffin or on the way back, he passed by this land. They say he took a handful of this sand, he smelled it, and he said, "Ha huna masari'u shaqin shuhada." He used a word that you don't usually use. The Quran hasn't even used it. Ishq is a word that you don't often use when you want to talk about a true love, a beautiful love, a pure love. It refers to a burning desire. Ishq. Imam Ali here uses this word according to this narration. He says that this is the sleeping place and the resting place of ushaq, of people in love. Allah brought us here for love, brothers. But they took it. هَهُنَا مَصَارِعُ الشَّاقٍ شُهَدَاء. Lovers and that are shaheed. This land, what a land. A land of secrets. We will never understand this land. They say Lady Zainab, whenever Imam Ali wanted to take her to the grave of Fatima of the Prophet, to visit the grave of the Prophet, whenever she wanted to go, Imam Ali would move ahead of her, Imam al-Hassan next to her, Imam Hussein on the other side. They carry a light in the night time, and they would go to the grave of the Prophet so that Lady Zainab could visit the grave of the Prophet, and Imam Ali would put the light out so people don't see the figure and the body of Lady Zainab. Awliyaullah have ghira, brothers. They have ghira. They won't let their women and children be in the sight of non-mahrams, that are an enemy especially. Prophet Musa is awliyaullah. When he walks ahead of those two women that the Quran talks about when he's going to their father, so that he doesn't have to walk behind them. These are awliyaullah. One of awliyaullah is Abbas alayhi salam, another of the awliyaullah Ali and al-Akbar. When they arrived to this land, the reports, they say that when Lady Zainab wants to dismount the camel, she wants to come down, it's a height. So Abbas rushes, Ali and al-Akbar, they rush to the camel of Lady Zainab. Everyone else looks away. Lady Zainab wants to dismount the camel. They put their knees out. Lady Zainab, put your knee on my knee. Put your foot on my knee when you come down. What an honor. Don't worry, no one's looking. You come down. Ali al-Akbar on the other side. Come on my knee. It's as if they are racing to have this honor. these ghayratullah, these lions of Allah. But let's now fast forward. When Lady Zainab comes down, she looks around. What does she see? She's Abbas on her side. Ali al-Akbar, Hussein, everyone is alive, everyone is around her, watching out for her. Let's go to Ashura now. On the day after Ashura, when Zainab had no one left to help her, a time came when they announced, "Mount the camels. It is time to leave this sacred land. Hussein and Ashabul Hussein lay on the sand." Lady Zainab helped everyone mount the camels. But a time came, Lady Zainab looks around. There is no one left to help Zainab. There is no Abbas, there is no Ali in al-Akbar. I have helped everyone mount. There is no one to help Zainab. Not only that, the non-mahrams are watching. Lady Zainab wants to mount. Let's thank Allah that Abbas was in there. Let's thank Allah that Ali ibn al-Akbar was in there to see how Zainab has to mount. But unfortunately, my brothers, the heads of Abbas and Ali upon the spear, they are looking down on Zainab. لا ضحك الله الدار ضحكت لا ضحك الله سن الدار ضحكت وآل محمد مظلومون قد قهروا ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون.